Good morning. This is still morning. I'm here for two motions. The first one has to do with the Rudder Lane Pole Building, which was recently completed. Substantial completion was achieved on October 29th. And all the work was completed according to the contract specifications and is fully operational. And I am here for a change order. It's an added cost of $221, but due to a previous credit change order, the final total cost of the project is less than the actual bid amount.
Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective October 29th, 2012, to John L. Briggs & Company of Georgetown, Delaware, for Sussex County Project 11-12, Rudder Lane Pole Building, and further that change order number 2 be approved in the amount of $221, increasing the contract total to $233,571.84, and that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
So move.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
Did it stay within budget?
Yes.
Yes, that's actually lower than the bid.
At $1,100.
We had a credit change order my previous visit.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yep.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, my next item has to do with the Greenwood Library Project. Our department has negotiated a contract with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel for construction administration. The notice to proceed for the construction was issued to Richard Y. Johnson and Sons on October 29th, and a contract amendment was negotiated with DBF to the original design contract in the amount of $157,259, and this is proposed for approval. The scope of work of the contract administration amendment includes review of shop drawings and samples, responses to requests for information from the contractor, review of change order requests, review of applications for payment from the contractor, systems commissioning, inspection, and production of record drawings.
You have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Council authorize its president to execute Amendment Number 1 to the existing contract with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, Incorporated of Salisbury, Maryland, to provide construction administration services for Sussex County Project 07-05, Greenwood Library, at a cost not to exceed $157,259.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mike Izzo.
Good morning. I have two pretty quick items for the agenda. The first is in reference to the Millville Sanitary Sewer District. It was referred to as a northwest expansion of Woods Neck Road. And you may recall last month we actually granted substantial completion and we began operating the system on October 1st. Final piece of housework, this would be the execution of a balancing change order. It's a credit in the amount of $163,991. The contractor was AP Kroll. There was a time extension included in this credit change order of 30 days, and that was based upon some extra work that we requested. Okay. If there's not any questions, I can read my motion.
Please.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that balancing change order for Sussex County Project Number 11-02, Millville Sanitary Sewer District, Northwest Expansion, White's Neck Road, be approved at a credit amount of $163,991.54, which decreases the final total contract to $2,396,468.46 and increases the contract time by 30 days, pending the receipt of approval from the funding agencies.
Entertain a motion. Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
The next is also a credit change order of a different sort. This is for the rehabilitation that is ongoing with our pump station number 30. It serves all of Fenwick Island. It's located just off SR 54. Three credit items. The elimination of some valving, reduction of, we originally were going to move a generator based upon a land swap that was made with a developer. He no longer needs that land, so the generator is going to stay put, so it resulting in a credit for the work. And then finally, a change in color of a building that is yet to be built. All that reference are in. That becomes a credit in the amount of $9,794.10, and I have a motion I can read.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order one for Sussex County Project 09-17 South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities Pump Station Number 30 Improvements be approved at a credit amount of $9,794.10, which decreases the total contract to $3,439,665.90, pending the receipt of approval from the funding agencies.
Entertain a motion. Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Cole, any questions on the motion?
Is that 9,700, you think, the most you could have got out of them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've gone round and round for quite some time on this particular item, yeah.
More questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Mike, thanks. It says there's attachments related emails, letters, contractors submitted cost proposals attached. We don't get that. Is that something you get to?
And that's always a question because, you know, for example,
no,
all
I'm
those supports thick, and we're never quite sure if the council wants to see that information or not because I know you get a lot of information already.
Vance wants it.
Run a copy down to me. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Ashman?
Yeah. Good everybody from engineering.
So this is County MS 106 station along there.
Hey, good morning. I'm here this morning for a bid award. The engineering department opened bids for Sussex County Emergency Medical Services Long Neck Station 106, Project 12-19 on November 7th, 2012. There were a total of 7 bids submitted, and a copy of the bid summary was submitted for your council packets. The project scope involves the site work and construction of approximately a 2,700-square-foot paramedic station. We held a pre-bid meeting on October 18th in council chambers, and the contract term is 120 consecutive calendar days, and State of Delaware wage rate decisions do apply to this project. And as I mentioned, bids were open on November 7th. The 7 bids, the lowest responsive bidder is Willow Construction of Easton, Maryland, at a bid of $478,950. And our engineer's estimate for the project was $512,000. Any questions?
Is it 700 square feet?
2,700.
Okay, I was going to say, that's awful small.
It's about the size of the Laurel. It's actually a little larger than the Laurel station.
I didn't hear the two, sir.
You have a motion, sir?
I do have a motion. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Project 12-19, Sussex County Emergency Medical Services, Long Neck Station 106, be awarded to Willow Construction of Eastern Maryland at the bid amount of $478,950.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on that motion?
Mr. Phillips. It seems like it's quite a bit more than the Laurel station. Is that just because of additional size or
Laurel
close to the beach?
Ended up costing more.
after the... Well, this doesn't, this isn't the land cost, this
no.
is...
No, this is the actual contract amount. It's a little bigger, there's a half bath added to it, a little more room in the office space so the guys could move around. Some of the stuff I think that was added on to the other project was actually included in this contract.
Now, there was a lot of discussion on the Laurel one about the possibility of modular. Has that been considered here?
We kind of left it open to the contractors to bid. It was a bid design or a engineer bid drawing. They could do however they want to do it. If it comes in as a modular, that's, I think we're acceptable to that.
Okay, so we don't know exactly which...
We have not seen their drawings as of yet, no.
You've not seen your drawing?
We have a concept drawing. We have our plan, but we do not know how they've proposed to build the building itself.
But the quality of the materials and all, we've specified all that, right?
All that is specified.
Right.
I mean, it almost sounds like you don't know what you're getting for $478,000.
Well, I mean, we have enough requirements in there that we know what they have to provide, and we still have to accept what they engineer.
Was there any mention in there about the fact that the modulars would not fall under the state's prevailing wage law? We ended up having to come back and kick in an extra $50,000-some to the Laurel contract, as I recall, because...
That's why we found out ahead of time that the wage rates do apply.
Understood. But with a modular, they would not apply. And
I
it would be significant, a significant savings if we had a modular.
So you're saying we could have sent, say, up to Greenwood, to that company, a set of plans and said, could you give us a bid? But when we put out the bidding, they could have bid, right?
Could have, yes.
Right, they could have bid like anybody else. So maybe, I don't know why they don't bid on those things, but, you know, I don't know. It seems a little late to...
I mean, Willow Construction could end up getting them, doing them off, right?
I get it.
They could subcontract with...
And paying
you're saying we could have gone directly to them and not had eliminate Willow.
Just sounds like there's probably a $75,000 savings if it
or
has
more,
a modular,
maybe, or...
And I'm wondering if we're giving that away or if we should be questioning whether
yes,
or not
it's... Let me, Robert Schoon over for the record. What drives the prevailing wage cost is the reimbursement you get from the state. So it doesn't matter if you
That's
use...
That's right.
It doesn't matter if you use modular or stick built. What's driving it is you're accepting state money reimbursement 30% on the project. So it has to be done at prevailing wage, whether it's a modular or a stick built. So they would have.
Okay. If you think
that's
accurate, yeah. Let it slide.
That's where the point is. And actually, on the Laurel station, we encouraged the modulars to do it, and they were actually higher.
Not once you threw in the extra $52,000 or $5,000,
right.
Then they
yeah.
actually would come under.
Right. But anybody that works on that project is subject to prevailing wage because we are accepting the 30% from the state.
Only if it's built on site. If it's built in a manufacturing setting, it does not apply. Is that right, Mike, or am I mental wrong?
We, and Mr. Phillips is correct. We investigated that on the Greenwood Library, and if it was built in the Berica Homes factory in Greenwood, then those folks working there would not have to be paid wage rates, but any of the finish work, they pick up the modular unit, they move it out to the site,
install
work
it.
That's performed on site would be subject to wage rates.
So it's like partial, half and half.
It's something that maybe we, Vance, we should just as a matter of business, you know, look at these options as we go into, you know, it seems a little late on this one. We're at the tail end of it. But it is something I think that is worth pursuing. So I think it's something it ought to be an option that we look at because we could go directly to some of these plants and factories and eliminate not only the wages, but we also eliminate the other, you know, contractor. And there could be substantial savings to the taxpayer there.
And
still,
they could have bid, the way this was set up, they could have bid it. Now, what we're probably guilty of is really not reaching out to those folks and bringing them into the process.
Well, some of these facilities are, right. So, like I said, maybe we ought to be making
it. And they will. Whoever, the low bidder, will have to turn in plans and go through our building code and go through the state fire marshal. So, either way, we're getting a quality product
right
to the county codes and state codes.
All right. But just as a matter of business, Todd, maybe we ought to do that in all departments.
Understood.
Any more questions? We have a motion. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I'll make it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Thank you. Mrs. Webb, grant requests.
Yes, there's a few grants today. The Downtown Seaford Association.
Someone make a motion to grant $500 from my
account. So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, grant $500 from my account to the Seaford Downtown Association for Christmas Parade expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips. Yes. Yes, motion carried. Next.
Milford Community Parades.
I guess it's mostly Sam, but I'll make a motion. Sam and I share that. What would you do last time?
We did, well, the last time we did it was when Mr. Rogers and Mr. Jones did it and was for a considerable amount of
$3,000.
$3,000. But we could be
make that all Sam.
Consistent with, $250 as Mr. Vincent.
That's adequate.
Okay. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Authorized $250 of Mr. Vincent.
We have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, a total of $250, Mrs. Deaver, $250, Mr. Wilson, to Milford Community Parade for parade expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Probably yes. Motion carried.
West Rehoboth Community Land Trust.
Refresh my memory on what was their.
They are working on their housing initiatives,
mm-hmm.
Revitalizing their West Rehoboth neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You had given them $2,500 May 12, 2012, and they're saying that you said to come back in the fall for another.
Right. I'll make a motion. I'll continue to provide some funding to the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust with an additional $2,500.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $2,500 to West Rehoboth Community Land Trust for housing initiative from Mr. Cole's account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Probably yes. Motion carried.
Create One Marketing. This is the decorating Delmarva that they did a presentation.
The racetrack in Delmarva.
Yes,
right.
They did a presentation a couple weeks ago.
Is there an amount specified?
There is not an amount specified.
They do qualify under a nonprofit.
They are currently have an account with the Delaware Community Foundation until they get their status. They have applied. I will check that one last time, but they do have a nonprofit set up with the Community Foundation. It is a charity event that they will take their money and support local schools and charity groups and nonprofit organizations, fire companies in the area.
Sure. I'll give $1,000 at this time. I may come back and do more later as this thing unfolds, but I'm comfortable with $1,000 now as long as they qualify for the nonprofit status.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mrs. Deaver, to grant $1,000 from Mr. Phillips' account to Create One Marketing for Decorating the Marva fundraiser. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Laurel Public Library.
I believe we're going to give
15 each. Is it 15 each?
1,500 each. Mr. Vincent and myself for a total of 3,000.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $3,000 to Laurel Public Library for costs associated with fixing drainage problems. $1,500, Mr. Phillips, and $1,500 myself. Any questions on the motion?
No.
Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Mason Dixon Woodworkers.
Do they have to have that right away because Sam's not here?
Well, it is. They do make toys for the needy children for Christmas.
Oh, we all contribute.
Then we grant $500. I think $100
each. $100 each. Yeah. That's been consistent.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
I'm going to give an extra $600. They work primarily out of my district, so we'll have a total of $1,000.
Okay.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,000, $600, Mr. Phillips, and $400 would be $100 of the board council people.
Right.
Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
And the Fenwick Island Lions Club.
Where's George? That's fancy.
Yeah. Parade.
That's the Halloween parade.
Right. That's $1,000 from my account.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mrs. Deaver.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To grant $1,000 Mr. Phillips' account to the Fenwick Island Lions Club for the Sellville Halloween parade expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore, opposed.
Thank you.
Zoning ordinance introduction.
Yes, there's several.
First is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and a GR general residential district for parking commercial tractor trailers to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Anacook Country, Sussex County, containing 9.59 acres more or less, tax map ID 2-31-16-152, and it's District 1.
I'll introduce it.
The second one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an RV resort and campground to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 162.424 acres more or less, tax map ID 3-34-12-16, part of, and that is District 3.
I'll introduce it.
Just Deeb introduces it.
Next is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for boat repair, boat storage, and boat sales to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.36 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-32-2-21/22, District 1.
I'll introduce it.
Slashing.
Next is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, 2 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 7.88 acres more or less, tax map ID 1-34-7-81.04, District 4.
I'll introduce it.
Cole introduces it.
Next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial/retail shop, handcraft furniture, gifts, and antiques to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 2.303 acres more or less. It's tax map ID 2-34-14-20.03 and 20.04.
Mr. Deeb introduced it.
Next is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 8.05 acres more or less, District 3.
All right, introduced.
Mr. Deeb introduces it.
And the last one, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR general residential district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 74 acres more or less, tax map ID 3-34-12-16, part of District 3.
Introduce it.
Mr. Deeb introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
All these back until the election was over. Just kind of like what they did.
Additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy.
Just like Washington, D.C.
Business is good. Business is good.
Ed Funk.
Mr. Funk, come on down.
I will. Thank you.
I know.
Good day, everybody.
Hello.
You know, I wonder how we can get this business with the crime that we have in Sussex County. It's amazing that nobody wants to open their minds and look at what's happening down here. WBOC just said that Sussex County has the worst crime in Delaware. And I just saw you on the national news with Dr. Bradley and Dr. Moyer. And then Budweiser was on the nightly news. I mean, you're just starting to get all this crime. It's starting to be spread around. And our tax dollars go to pay for these state police. And what bothers me more than anything is we don't have too much that goes on with the state police unless we hire them. And we've been hiring them for $84 an hour to come into our community. And they've done, I can't tell you how much good they've done. We have a folder like that of all the incident reports from that state police that they go around. They busted a couple drug houses. They're working on another one. But our taxes pay this. Why do we have to pay this $84 when they're supposed to be doing this in the first place? I don't understand it. You know, our economy's bad. Mr. Carey was there about that presentation, about his team challenge presentation. And he said how much crime there is that's going on down here that funnels down to his, you know, the presentation that he has. And he tries to get all these people out of there, you know, and help them out. Well, we need help, too. All the communities out there need help. I brought some people down here from the communities, but they left. I mean, it was too long for them, I guess. But they all have the same problem, Mr. Vincent. And for $84 an hour, that's cutting into all our budgets. We now just put security cameras up, hoping that would deter a lot of it. But you got to understand that these people can't pay $84 an hour for state police to come in when their tax dollars are supposed to be doing it for not, you know, with that. Another thing I had was, Mrs. Webb, I read in a paper that you had, if I read it right, $50 to $70 million that you transferred from your bank account to some other?
Well, we set up an investment account. That is correct.
And that was it, you know, you get interest on that investment and everything.
We did a new portfolio.
Right.
With new investments. We changed our investment policy, and that was, I guess, about a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With all this money, you always say that, you know, you don't have money for crime and all the law enforcement. And Mr. Willie Nelson is a volunteer for Jeff Christopher. This man is a qualified Homeland Security personnel. And he came out of the Air Force after 20 years. He's good in security. He guarded a president. And now he's given all his money as a volunteer for Jeff Christopher to go out. He spent $15,000 of his own money to fight crime in this community, you know, in Sussex County. And he gets all the things for the neighborhood watch. He's been taught how to teach that. He goes into every community and teaches neighborhood watch. What that money does for him, he gets the leaflets for crime and everything, gives it to people. He also gives them, he gets the plates that go on the side of their cars, you know, that magnet. He gives it to, you know, he gave it all, and hats that are illuminated, you know, so that when the neighborhood watch people ride around, they know, you know, who they are. But he's doing this all out of his own pocket. Why can't there be more money given, especially to Jeff Christopher, for this man to do what he's doing? Nobody else wants to do anything. I mean, where do we go from here? You know, Vance, you know all the crime that's going down there. One of the state police officers we talked to said, I can't believe all the crime that you have in your community. He says, we're going to try to straighten this out and get it done. I don't know whether that ever be, you know, possible to happen. But I ask you to honestly look into this, please. You know, the economy's bad. People are out of work. Now these people need money. It's not bad enough that they have people stealing, breaking into homes and getting prescription medicines out of the old people. Now you got people out of work who are looking for money no matter where they go.
Understand that the role of the sheriff is being adjudicated, and we really can't do a whole lot until that works its way through the court, and we expect something this spring.
Yeah, I understand that, Vince, but I feel bad for this man that's spending all this money, that maybe you could give that budget some extra money so this man can do what he's doing.
Well, you could do this, Mr. Funk, if he would organize, like the Neighborhood Watch organization, become a nonprofit in this county.
Right.
And we do provide funding to nonprofits. So if he doesn't have to be connected with the sheriff at all. But if he wanted, I think there's a lot of merit for a man who will, or somebody, a place where if a homeowner association has a problem, wants to do Neighborhood Watch, they could call a guy to come in and provide him with some information and training and find out all this other stuff. I know maybe the state police and others do it.
They do it. Mm-hmm.
But again, if there was, I mean, he could maybe set up a nonprofit and there could get some county funding that direction. But but I don't see us giving directly to the sheriff.
Well, I understand
that. So he can get somebody out there to do some crime
fighting.
I know
the situation with you and the sheriff and everybody else.
It's
just a matter that without the sheriff, we still don't get any help from the state police.
Well, they
do. No, I mean, you need to come down to all these communities that you represent and see what's going on there during the day and the night. We have people coming in there at nighttime, shutting their lights off.
If you could kind of speed up and close up here a little bit, you're okay. Well past 3 minutes.
I just want you to know that this is happening.
Sure.
You know, and we try to do something about it, and I would like you to do something about it. So I hope that that won't be the case.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mary Froelich?
She's not here.
Mary Froelich. Mitch Collins.
Thank you, folks. I'd like to speak a few moments about the septic presentation I had this morning. I want to make clear that I have no criticism for Mr. Sheppins or any of the folks who were here. They are employees, and they're doing their job. This is the regulation they're talking about. You know, you had, a 10-minute presentation, a few points. This is very, very dense, a lot of crossouts, a lot of line-ins. I assure you, you didn't hear more than 1% of what there is to know in this thing. I do have some concerns, as you may have been able to figure out. First of all, as he said, it started in 2008. Now, during the years since then, they've had many, many public workshops. Folks in the trade came, advised. It was a very good process. They finally had their public hearing May 3rd. I would say it was pretty much of a disaster for the department. They had a very large crowd show up, including some very qualified experts, and they found problem after problem after problem, including conflicts within the regulations with other regulations of DENREC. Well, then it went away. We didn't hear anything. Suddenly, I find that October 1st, that this thing had been published in the state register of regulations, and that they weren't even going to do a public hearing, that you had to submit written comments by October 30th or forever hold your peace. And again, on this document. Well, I didn't even know it was in the register till about October 10th. And the PGA at that point started having conversation with DENREC about, hey, folks, you've got to do a public hearing. That's the law. And let's just say that they finally agreed. The problem is they set the date for November 15th. Now, I don't know, some of you may know there was something fairly intense going on in the month of October and early November. So I still have not really studied this, just haven't been possible. I'm going to spend the next couple days, that hearing is coming Thursday night. But I think this is a much bigger deal than most folks realize, because I believe that this allows DENREC to directly interfere with the land use process that you are supposed to control. First of all, when you go to settlement now, DENREC is going to have veto power over whether or not you can settle on a property. Not a vacant property, but an improved one that has a septic system. You're going to be required, and I did speak with Mr. Sheppins in the hallway, he confirmed that even if you don't have a mortgage, you're going to have your settlement attorney is going to have to make sure that you have done this inspection and pump out.
I think it's always been that way, hasn't it, Rich?
No, absolutely not.
Long time.
Right now,
go ahead.
Yeah, right now it is controlled by the mortgagee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a smart mortgagee does demand it. The point here is not should or should you not do a pump out. The point is who should control it. Now, I want to make this point very, very clearly. The way the Administrative Procedures Act is constructed that gives DENREC their power, they do anything they want by the authority of one person, period. And he can decide to do anything. Your only recourse, or our citizens' only recourse, is to go to court. The opinion of an elected official, The opinion of citizens means nothing legally in the regulation process. So should a department bring forth a very complicated regulation, have no workshops whatsoever between the last public hearing at which even they must have agreed there were lots of problems because they went away for all these months, and then come back later and only have a public hearing under duress where they are now going to take some control over the settlement process? I'll give you one practical effect. If you're trying to clear out all these foreclosed homes, of which I understand we have many, 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 and now the backlog is building because the banks have backed off on actual foreclosure due to some legal technicalities. Even if an investor wants to, say, buy a block of 10 homes with no intention whatsoever of having them inhabited right away or even in the near future, they're still going to have to go through all this stuff and maybe spend a great deal of money to be qualified to even purchase these homes. Is that something that we need right now? There are other things in this document before. I'm not positive right now, but they flat out wrote the right to rescind the septic permit. So anyway, I'm not going to bring this to a conclusion. I'm going to go to the public hearing. There is a comment period to November 30th. I think you should be very, very concerned about this constant expansion of power by one person who is not elected.
And that person is Colin.
Well, Harris? The secretary of any agency, but specifically in this case of Denrick.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you, very, very much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Rich. Mr. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. You just gave 30 pieces of silver to 7 churches when you could have taken that silver and give it to the veterans so that they don't have to. You could subsidize your veterans, all of them, not just part of them, but every one of them. And then I keep hearing the word, oh, we need a land use planner. No, we don't. We already got one. It's called a county council.
We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We will be in this room.
Here? Oh,
in this room? Yeah.